I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Reddit is a never-ending trove of absolutely insane stories. We have a bunch more that we're going to read today with my friends Rachel and Iffy.
Hey.
Yeah. I'm very excited for this because you both are some of the most honest people I know. You do not hold back whatsoever.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to say we overshare too much.
Cool way to say, Rachel, you're a bitch.
The theme of the stories today is kind of family drama, relatively speaking. It goes all over the place.
Yeah.
Ooh! Relatively, yeah.
Okay, so we'll hop into this first story. Now, Iffy, you're a father, and I think your perspective on this first story is going to be very interesting.
Ooh, I'm very curious because there's a lot of bad Reddit dads. So I'm very curious. You know, Dadit, though, shout out, if you're a future dad, there's a dad Reddit called Dadit. It's very cute, sometimes sad. Yeah, because, you know, people are talking about, like, becoming a dad and, like, challenges that come with it.
Interesting. Well, this first one is a very interesting way of maybe, you know, teaching a child or teaching someone or, you know, kind of a, this
that.
Is kind of educational, I think. I've only read the title.
I'm not a parent, but I am mommy.
Yeah.
So I can do this.
So I'm curious.
Well,
okay.
I'm dad and daddy.
Yeah.
All right. Here is our first story. It comes from Am I the Asshole? And it was reposted on Am I the Devil, so you know it's good.
Oh.
Am I the asshole for fake kidnapping my friend's kids?
I'm gonna stop you right there. I'm gonna stop you right there. If this isn't the character from Arrested Development who teaches you lessons, and that's why you don't accept strangers' candy.
I mean, it's feels like it's straight out of it. This happened literally this year, this month. So this is recent. So my friend of about 20 years is mad at me, calling me cruel and an asshole. She got upset after I fake kidnapped her two young kids. I know it sounds harsh so far, but the reason I did it was to finally get through her head the dangers of leaving her kids home alone when she goes out.
Hold on. Get it through whose head? The parents?
The mom's, yeah. Okay. Her friend, she's like, hey, I'm going to teach my friend a lesson.
I'm going to parent this parent.
Yeah.
On top of the dangers, she just recently split up with her husband, and they are currently going through a custody battle. The kids live with her, but the dad is fighting to get them to live with him a city over. She knows any ammunition this man can get will be used against her in court, and I've told her a million times that if he finds out she leaves the kids at home to run 5 to 10 minute errands, she absolutely will lose come court time. The kids are 5 and 8 years old. Sure, they are quite capable for 10 minutes, but I told her that is not the point. Countless times I would come over, the door was unlocked, so I walked right in, and her kids were home alone. She shows up 5 minutes later, stating it was easier to run for milk without the kids or whatever she is doing at the time. I tell her, for God's sake, at least lock the door so a stranger can't walk in, and I honestly worry what would happen if a fire started. This leads to today.
And I didn't start a fire, and I never would. But just in case.
If a fire started, the 8-year-old's just like, oh! Doesn't run, just like, ah! This leads to today. I was on my way over, and I saw her drive past me. She didn't see me or know I was on the way, so I got this great idea to teach her a lesson. I go to her house and tell the kids to get into my car. We are going to go for a little drive. They drive with me often, so going for a drive is nothing new. We got into the car and went to the park just down the street where I could see her get back. Sure enough, 5 minutes later, she is back at the house and sees the door is open. I wait a minute and see her run outside, then head towards the backyard, then run back inside, clearly in a panic. So I drive back up to the house and run inside to find her crying uncontrollably and shaking in a panic. I was kind of smiling, like, hey, it's okay, your kids are with me, but she could not stop crying. Finally, after about a half an hour, she calms down enough to question why I did this, and after explaining, asked me to leave, so I did. She texted me after saying how cruel that was, and that I was an asshole, and now isn't replying to texts. So Reddit, am I an asshole?
Yeah. Does this person know that if you kidnap somebody's kids without telling the parents, you are actually kidnapping the kids?
That's a fake kidnap.
Yeah, right. She is
technically
a felon.
She technically kidnapped those
kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shane, I'll interject. Read the comments.
Can't wait for the next post. Today I fucked up by triggering an Amber Alert. Hate to break it to the writer of this, but if you took the kids and the parent did not know, there was nothing fake about the kidnapping. Yeah, so I guess a question is, if you have a friend who's a parent who's doing something that you disagree with, or you think, oh, that might be dangerous, like, what lengths would you go to try to teach them? But, well, like,
I mean, here's the thing, is there's so many steps jumped. I mean, like, if you really want to be a good friend, then you're like, hey, just call me when you need to make a run, or I'll make a run for
there you.
Go. That that takes just the same amount of driving it sounds like it took to kidnap her kids.
Right. You know, instead of offering support to this struggling single parent, you're like, what if I
in the middle of a custody battle?
Yeah.
And also it's so funny because it makes me feel like these are definitely younger people, because it seems like, you know, because, you know, the latchkey kid generation, like, it's you're like, yeah, no, and 8 and 10 is a bit capable, I think.
8 and 5.
8 and 5, okay.
Ooh. 5.
Ooh.
5.
But I do know.
That's younger than my daughter, and I would not leave. Naomi next year. Yeah.
There's no guidelines for what age, like, it does kind of vary, I feel like, based on, like, parents and stuff, on, like, what age people
leave
their kids.
Also, I
want to
know where they live, you know?
Yeah, because, like, I feel like it's...
Because if you're in, like, Pensatucky, somewhereville, you know, like, then I could see why you're like, yeah, I can run to the store,
sure.
It's cool, even though that's where all the true crime stuff happens.
At the store?
In Pensatucky, nowhere's
though. Oh, yeah,
like,
that's true.
Nothing like this ever happens here.
I also feel like the thing I've always heard is that it's, you know, in horrible situations, it is someone you know.
Exactly.
And, like, these kids actually, like, the mom needs to be like, hey, do not go out, even if it's my best friend who's here all the time.
Yeah.
Unless
yeah.
I tell you.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, but it's like, you know, it's funny because they're like, they followed me because, you know, I take them out all the time. It's like, yeah, you've created this situation to where you made it easier to kidnap.
Right.
What kidnappers do.
It's like they're primed for kidnapping.
Yeah, yeah.
What was I supposed to do?
Did you come, like, you didn't try and come in as a stranger. You didn't try and test if they can actually defend themselves. You just used the most easy way to kidnap a kid and did it.
Okay, the OP responded, thank you, this is my point. I've told her time and time again that I would even watch her kids, but she just thinks it is only a quick trip, no need to take the kids. I disagree and asked her to at least lock the door so no one wandered in, but even that doesn't happen. I love my friend, but really hate that she leaves the kids alone. I think not locking the door is strange. Like, just lock the door. Like,
I'm from Texas, and
some,
like,
places don't lock the door.
Yeah, like, I say, is it? It feels slightly irresponsible. Yes, to leave your small children at home alone with the doors unlocked. Slightly, maybe hugely irresponsible.
Yeah.
But I can't say that didn't happen to me.
But
me
also,
and my sister have,
like,
the same age difference.
Look, when you see a kid in front of the Bluey, you know that kid ain't moving. That kid ain't moving for the next 5 hours.
Go get your milk.
You know, you can go and get the milk.
Yeah.
It really feels like a problem that this person created, because it seems like I would like to believe that the reason, because, you know, I feel like this is a deductive reasoning where it's like, okay, this is a safe neighborhood. No one's coming jingling all the doors and walking in. I'm going to be at the store. It seems like even OP is admitting that it's only like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. And I was like, if it's that much of a problem, then you know, you can try telling them, but at the end of the day, it's not your kids. You don't get to interject. You don't get to kidnap them. You don't get to, like, you know, that's... I'm sorry, but that's the thing.
You don't get to kidnap them.
Yeah, you don't get to do that. Yeah,
I think regardless of opinions on much of this, we know that kidnapping kids is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what she did was probably the worst possible thing she could have done.
And also the, just...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. Also just the fact that the mother was crying... And she was like,
she ruined that woman's life.
Yeah.
She doesn't know I know this hack.
That was the worst 10 minutes of her life.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I wonder if she learned, though. Like, I wonder.
I think she learned to never talk to that person again.
Yeah. I mean, if you feel that intense fear, wouldn't you maybe the next time you leave the house be like, I'll lock the door?
I think she learned bad lessons, though. I don't think she's ever going to trust anyone ever again.
If I learned that, what I would do is I would, you know, drive my car down the block so it looks like I'm not there, leave my door unlocked, and as soon as my friend walked in again, I'd hit her with a bat.
That's right. You know what? It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were Chris Hansen waiting on the...
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were a kidnapper, so I beat the shit out of you with the bat.
I taught you a lesson not to kidnap.
Yeah.
I thought this was just like felonies between friends.
Yeah.
All right. Next story. You know what? I'm going to do something a little different here. I want to listen to one of these. So, okay. Iffy, why don't you read this one?
Yes, yes. All right.
Got your voice ready?
Oh, yes. Am I the asshole for not canceling my plans after my boyfriend learned about his diagnosis?
Oh.
I love that you don't state what diagnosis.
Right.
You know, you're like, I have to keep you reading.
Right.
I gotta let you know.
Suspense.
I, 25 female, work in event planning, so I always get invites or tickets to go to high-end events. There was a huge event coming up that I was really excited to go to. I asked my boyfriend, 27, 3 days before the event to accompany me, and he said yes. So originally, the plan was my boyfriend, my stepsister, and myself. On the day of the event, he said he had a doctor's appointment, so he isn't sure if he can still attend. I said no problem, and I waited for him to return home. A couple hours later, he texted me and said he has something to tell me. I got worried and called him immediately. I asked if everything was okay, and he said he was diagnosed with anemia.
Oh, no.
That is so sensitive.
So he'll have to take supplements.
I can't go. I have to take some supplements.
His girlfriend's like just bleeding.
Immediate 180 from me. I'm gonna just say. I expressed how sorry I was and spoke to him for about 2 hours, gave him pep talks, told him I'm here if he needs me.
Pep talks. What's an anemia pep talk? You can eat liver? Yeah. Like, what do you want?
Really, really quick, specifically, what is anemia?
It's when your blood is thin.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you have low iron.
Okay, low iron.
Eat liver.
Yeah. I reassured him that I will always love him. I then asked if he would still like to attend the event with me to take his mind off things, to which he responded that he doesn't like the artist performing, so he'd rather go to another event. I said, no problem. I will go with my stepsister alone. He got upset and hung up. I called him back, but he started an argument about how I'm selfish for going out while he's going through something. I told him that I already made plans with my stepsister and I can't back out now as she's depending on me. I also don't drink, so I would have been the sober driver, and if I didn't go, she couldn't. Okay. I told him that this event is the only event my sister really wanted to attend, and I promised her I would take her months prior. I even told him I'll see him the next day, and he said be safe and hung up. I got to the event around 11 and spent the entire event alone, just sitting down and watching the show by myself, having food and drinks. When I returned home around 2 a.m., I called him, and he was awake playing video games.
Hell yeah.
It helps his anemia.
His first words were, "Look who cares about me again." I said, I'm too tired for this. And he responded by saying that, of course I'm tired. Which I guess a better reply would be like, well, I'm tired. I have anemia. I went out without him knowing he's upset, but I love partying and meeting new people so much that I didn't think to stay with him on the phone. I told him he's being ridiculous and I would have stayed if it were just us who planned to go. He said my priorities are off and I'm an ignorant asshole. Mm. Keep in mind, I don't attend parties unless it's with my family. I only attend events a few times a year. So am I the asshole for not staying on the phone with him and attending the event instead?
No, honey. No, yeah. You're not.
Yeah, so the verdict for this one, which we don't even need to hear what the verdict was for the last one, but this one was not the asshole.
Yeah.
Comics, when I saw the title, I expected it to be cancer or some type of degenerative disorder or something requiring major surgery. Anemia is generally a completely treatable condition that has no impact on quality of life, and unless the doctor referenced a concern about a more serious condition, it's reasonable to assume that supplements are all that is needed at this point. It sounds like he's using it as an excuse to get out of something he didn't want to do, then taking it a step further to try and manipulate you, not the asshole.
He's jealous. This is what jealous that his girlfriend is a successful and in-demand woman and that she has other priorities that aren't his little cold fingers. Yeah. That's literally what happens.
There's no doubt that this is just one of many instances where this guy, anything he has that he can use as a card against her.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I feel like, I say this a lot, one sign of like a relationship being unhealthy is when there is this sense of wanting to be the winner and the loser.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, especially in my early 20s and before that, most relationships were entered in the idea of like, who can be at fault? That way I have this get out of jail free card for whatever BS I, you know, go through. And I feel like that carries over into people like this. And this isn't that big of a deal, but he probably did something horrible. Like, this is a red flag, is when somebody wants so badly for you to be in the wrong, they're getting ready to drop a bomb on you. It was like, oh, and by the way, I made out with Kelsey at the party.
But you don't care about my anemia.
Yeah.
So. You were super shitty about my supplements.
Yeah. You went to work and I didn't want you to go. Yeah. So,
you know, it's kind of the same.
It's kind of the same, yeah.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It does read as full insecurity to me.
Mm-hmm.
He is clearly an insecure person, and I hope that you are out of there, girl.
Well, yeah, because also in the way that she's conveying this information, she's putting a lot of qualifiers that are unnecessary, which means that she's used to having to justify doing things like that.
That's the thing that's so upsetting about this, is that all that two paragraphs of context could have just been boiled down to, this is an event that I was invited to. You said you would go with me. You decided to go to the doctor on the day of the event, which is the part that begun to piss me off was like, you decided to, seemingly last minute, decided to go to this doctor the same day as the event, prefacing, I probably am not going to be able to make it. Like, you're planning on not making it. No matter what that doctor said to you, you aren't going to go to that event.
Look, here's my headcanon, if you seem to be watching this, OP, is that he went to the doctor for a STI test because he fucked somebody else and found out he's anemic, and he's like, I'm going to need this.
Ooh.
The phrase alone, look who cares about me again, is that's
so
all
pathetic.
I needed to hear.
Yeah.
I mean,
while playing video games, by the way, it's not like he was under the cover shivering like, oh, where is my girlfriend? You were on Call of Duty, probably calling someone a slur.
Right.
And then, and then your girlfriend calls, and now you're like, oh, look who decides they care about me again.
It seems like he needs a mommy.
Yeah.
It seems like he needs a little mommy.
Yeah, it seems like you definitely, this is a huge red flag, and this is one of those situations where, you know, that phrase like, pay attention, believe people when they show you who they are.
Right.
Yeah.
This is definitely a situation like that. Because if he's doing this for anemia, the moment he has like a real justification and think you need a dote by his side, oh boy.
Oh, God.
Prepare.
What is it? The phrase that was used in a previous one of these episodes. Weaponized incompetence.
Weaponized being pathetic.
Seems like this guy was using that. He's like, you got anemia, and he's just out.
Yeah.
He's like, I am bedridden for the rest of my life.
Well, also, because it wasn't like he was like, I don't want to go because of the anemia. He straight up said, I don't want to go because I'm not interested in this.
Yeah, he didn't want to go in the first place.
Yeah.
He wants to be mad at her for not babying him. And you know what? Bless his heart. Godspeed. And I hope you well with your blood.
Yeah. I'm just going to say, you know, your pipe game ain't that good if she didn't want to baby you from the first place. Investigate that. Investigate that.
He has anemia in the blood.
Can I read the next one?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah. I can't read, but... Oh. Oh. What?
Okay.
Am I the asshole? I didn't attend my son's wedding. I instead spent the evening with his ex-wife.
Okay, well, let's hear him out.
I don't know yet.
I don't know. That on paper.
Quick backstory. After graduating high school, my son moved three states away for college. At 19, he married a girl he met. I tried convincing him to wait because I personally felt he was too immature. They both dropped out and moved back here to his hometown. At 20, they had their first child, a beautiful little girl. At 20, okay. Whoa. 16 months later, my daughter-in-law gave birth to their second child, a little boy. After the first baby, my wife and I noticed our daughter-in-law wasn't happy. We both thought it was PPD related. Just after the second arrived, my son and his wife separated. She would bring the kids over for a visit. It was then she began unloading on us. I know there's two sides to every story, but considering I know my son, I believed her.
This dad wants to fuck his son's wife so bad.
Is it the dad or the mom?
The dad.
It's the dad.
Wait, it is?
Yeah.
Oh. I sat my son down numerous times to speak with him regarding his marriage. He refused to take responsibility, blamed her for everything, even when I directly pointed out where he was the sole problem. They got into counseling. For a year, things were okay on the surface. Our daughter-in-law filed for divorce. My son, 3 days later, was on Facebook announcing his new girlfriend. Okay, he does seem like a problem, yeah. A month later, they were engaged. My son had forced his then-wife to become a permanent stay-at-home mom at the birth of their first child. She, of course, had no other family or friends here. She knew no one aside from us. She had nowhere to go with two small children. Unbeknownst to our son, my wife and I helped her financially and got her an apartment. Before the divorce was even finalized, we received a wedding invitation. I made it clear to my son I would not be attending and they would not have my blessing. His mother told him she would see to it that I would attend. I stayed consistent in my decision. I also asked him not to bring his fiance around our house out of respect for the mother of his children. The wedding happened on February 11th, the night before my wife gave me the final push. I did not attend. Our daughter also did not attend for the same reasons. My wife picked up our grandkids, got them dressed, and attended the wedding. My daughter and I decided to spend the evening with his ex. I couldn't imagine her sitting alone while her kids attended their father's wedding. She was taken aback that I didn't end up attending his wedding. We took her out to distract her mind. I just wanted her to know she'll always be considered family to us. Our daughter also made a joke that they can drop the in-law status and just be sisters now. Okay. She was tearfully grateful. I realized just how badly she needed our support, and specifically on that night. The next morning, my son called to tell me how much of a horrible father I am for not attending his wedding. A few days later, he caught wind that I spent the wedding evening with his ex. He said that it was the ultimate form of betrayal, and further, myself and his sister would have to earn a relationship with him on his terms only.
Whew. Ooh, that one's a rough one.
That is actually really difficult.
That's a tough one. I think that's like...
No, I think it's pretty down the middle for me.
Well, you are uniquely qualified for this.
I mean, the evidence stated is he obviously cheated on his ex-wife with this woman and is now rushing to get married. He is also someone who is rushing to get married with people, not really seeing things through, which is kind of the stuff that he's said about his son that he knew is very impulsive, doesn't really consider other people's actions. You know, I think everything with the who's wrong about it aside, I do think there's an element to where he, as the father-in-law, realized that this woman uprooted her life to come to a town she's not from and basically take care of his grandkids. And I think he is doing his duty as a grandfather to take care of those two kids and make sure their mom is all right.
Sure.
Because it seems very obvious that his son isn't probably going to be in these kids' life. This is a very clear, I've seen people who behave like this, and people who behave like this try to move on to their next situation and just completely disengage from their current ones.
I didn't even consider the idea that he would be not just abandoning her, but abandoning the kids.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
I think what, because I was thinking that a little bit is, you know, those are his grandkids, and I'm like, you have such a,
yeah.
You're dedicated to those kids. He didn't really bring up the grandkids, I feel like, a ton, but.
Well, he was just spending time with her on the wedding night.
Yeah, because the kids were at the wedding. Yeah.
But that's definitely a great point, because, like, I was thinking, I'm like, oh, but you're a father, like, you should be dedicated to your son, but I'm like, those are your grandkids. They almost take precedence over once your son is an adult.
That is the mother of your grandchildren, for sure. I will say, there are 364 nights out of the week you could have spent with her alone. Like, the son seems like an asshole. Like, he seems awful, and I wouldn't, like, openly support him or be like, I think you're making the right decision. But not going to your son's wedding is a tough thing to do, and it's also, you can't work from that. Like, mm-hmm. if his son is an asshole and he moves on from this wedding night, there's a potential that maybe his family could encourage him to be a little bit more of a empathetic person or loving father. But if you don't go to the wedding of your son, there's no way he's going to hear anything you say after that.
My thing is this. I feel like you can't teach someone to be empathetic. I think you can't teach someone to be a good father. That's something you actively want to do. You have to make that choice. And this person obviously is not going to make that choice. And I think things that can get lost in the shuffle can get lost in the, you know, baby mama drama, the child support of it all, is that, you know, the parents and their emotions affect the kids. He knows his son's good. He's moving on. He's doing his own thing. But he needs to make sure that this woman doesn't break down. I mean, it's obvious that she's in financial straits, and she's the only one taking care of those kids. So she does need to be supported. I mean, you know, when you're a parent and you are trying to both parent and, like, manage your emotions, that's a lot to deal with. And I think, you know, as the father of that son, I wouldn't be surprised if the dad feels somewhat responsible for this, because he's like, I didn't believe I raised my son to be like this, yet you're dealing with the effects of that. So I'm going to take care of you. And I do think there's a point in taking a stance of being like, you are marrying the person you cheated on your ex with.
Right.
I don't want to support that. And I do think it's okay to take a stance there. I do think that, you know, at a certain point you have to decide, is it more important to do things just because you're family, or is it more important to, like, make that stance? And, like, in the sense of it all, it's like, yeah, the son, you know, he might lose him in all this, but eventually when he has his sister and his dad who are standing strong, eventually he's going to have to come to terms with, like, why I don't have a relationship with this person. And the type of person he married, you know, that still needs to unravel.
Yeah.
But it's like, depending on how that goes, it's going to be, you know.
There's a lot of information we don't have.
Right. Yeah.
But I do think it's also pretty powerful that the sister also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, damn, like, a sibling and a father taking a stance like that. I mean, that's intense.
And the fact that they're, like, adopting the ex-wife, they're like, you can just call me sister now.
Yeah.
Like, you're not a sister-in-law. It's almost like they're replacing the son with her.
Yeah.
Which I've dealt with people in my family who have issues that express themselves in ways that might seem like they're doing something that is the wrong decision, or they're doing something that's actively against the family or whatever. But it took a lot of time and patience and communication to get to the place where we all understood together. Like, I am very loyal to my family, and so I will give them a lot of grace when it comes to stuff like this. I do see that, like, this son is making all the wrong decisions. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody, unless he is a murderer or like inherently evil, I don't think that anybody wants to be a bad father. I don't think anybody wants to be a bad son. It seems like he's acting reactively, and what he could probably use is, like, family.
Well, yeah, but I feel like there's a difference between support and enabling, where it's like, you can set the boundary, you can let them know why. And that's why I think, you know, as long as you let them know why you're giving that action, then they'll always know why. Like, if he's like, look, this is what I'm doing because I know you cheated on her, and I know you're with this person, and I want to support my grandkids, no matter what, if he wants that relationship, he's going to know that that's why that's happening and that needs to change.
Okay, well, here's a question. Does cheating on your wife mean that you're never allowed to have a relationship with your father again?
I don't think you...
I wonder if there's different stipulations than this. I wonder if it's... I think there's probably a million layers that we're not seeing.
100%.
Because as you're saying, oh, he's probably going to be out of these kids' lives. Maybe the dad seems to know that's about to be the case. And it might be a situation of, I'm not shunning you just in general.
Yeah.
But I'm out of your life until you take an active part of these kids' lives.
Well, and I also want to reverse it a bit. The dad had said nothing about being out of his life. Remember, it's the son who's like, you need to work for me. And it's like, okay.
Dad's just not attending the wedding.
There's an edit.
Okay.
Update. First, I'd like to sincerely thank each and every one of you for your support, encouragement, and all the awards.
Yeah, there's a Reddit awards. It's a thing.
Oh, I know.
They mean nothing.
I know without a doubt I did the right thing. I even feel differently now. His mother should not have attended either, but we can't go back and undo that. So my son saw the post. I had sent my daughter the link yesterday so she could read the comments. This morning she texts me at work, Dad, you went viral. Lol, but anyways. He sent screenshots of the post and all my comments to his mom. He also told her, he's dead to me now. Time will tell if he means that. I'm sure he'll see this update too. For that reason, I'm positively certain the second he needs another cash loan, I won't be dead anymore. Yes, daddy! His mom told him, your children have to be our number one priority. They're not just some disposable items you can leave behind when one chapter of your life closes. Maybe one day he'll understand this. You said that.
Yeah.
You called it.
Well, it's because it's like a behavioral pattern. You know, like I've seen people like this. I've seen a person like this, and it really... It what sucks is, like, I get, you're right. You want, you know, that relationship with your kids. You want that. But also, you have to understand that your kid is an adult now. And also, he's, like, in his early 20s. So,
there's time.
I think he's going to come around, especially when he realizes that he needs his parents more than he thinks. But when you kind of let this off, when you enable a son like this, the thing that gets lost in the shuffle and hurt the most are the kids. Because like I said, this is behavior of someone who just kind of like thinks that partners are disposable. And he thinks that if he just leaves them, he's someone who would probably be complaining about child support even though he's not even, you know, spending any time with his children.
I'm so conflicted about this.
Yeah.
I really am. I do think he's an asshole. End of story. But first of all, if my dad made a Reddit post about me, that's the silliest thing I've ever seen. But,
yeah.
But this is clearly actions upon actions upon
actions this son has probably done.
Cash loan reference shows he has probably, and for the sister to, I think when the sister is also taking that stance, it's not like, oh, he was an asshole to his ex-wife. It's like, he's clearly been an asshole to everyone. He's lost the trust of so many people that if that one thing can make them go, yeah, we're out.
Yeah, it's hard when we're seeing an apex because it's clear that this has been a buildup, but it's like, so you just now decided to stop enabling him?
We're flipping to the middle of a book.
We are.
How'd they get here?
I will say, too, that making the kids the priority, it just doesn't seem like that's what's happening here. I understand that saying you are not being responsible for your children, so I will be, that's not healthy for those children to grow up thinking that their dad is a piece of shit. Even if he is, I do agree that it's up to the community, the family, the parents to try to push their son in the right direction and try to make sure that he's making the right decisions for himself. But if he can't make those decisions, I don't think that the answer is demonizing him to the kids because they need to grow up thinking that their dad loves them.
Well, I don't think this is a conversation to the kids. This is the conversation to Reddit and the rest of the the internet and a conversation between parents. We don't know, I don't think that these parents are going back to the kids and being like, so you're not seeing your dad because of X, Y, Z. I think this is a forum where he is speaking freely. And I think that there is I don't think that the kids are involved in that way. And I think it is really just a parent who is fed up and wants to stand up for these kids.
I just want to say, one thing that I want to point out, just kind of changing the subject a little bit, is it's got to be so wild for kids nowadays growing up where there's so much stuff on the internet that they might stumble upon 15 to 20 years from now.
Yes.
Yeah. I grew up in an age where it's like, my parents didn't use the internet. Like, they don't have posts or anything on there. Like, oh my God.
Well, I mean, with the nature of Reddit, this will be archived and hard to find in the next 5 years.
True. So, true.
Yeah. And like, you know, and the last thing about the kids, they're like, based on the timing, probably 1 and 2. There's no information being sent to these kids. So there is enough time for the dad to step up and want to be present in the life. And I'm sure that no one is blocking him from seeing his kids. It sounds like he's not coming to see his kids.
Maybe we'll see it on Best of Redditor updates.
Yeah.
Ooh. It could happen. It could happen. Look, sometimes things turn around.
From the kids' perspective.
Yeah. Sometimes things turn around.
Verdict is not the asshole.
May I read the next one?
Of course.
Oh, yes, Shad.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Shad.
All right. Am I the asshole for leaving the restaurant when my girlfriend admitted she's been lying to me for 10 years? Okay. This is one of those where I don't know.
Yeah.
Usually I feel like I know.
Oh, yeah, we have to hold true because this might be an anemia situation.
Right.
Just based on my experience here reading these, whenever it's a boyfriend talking about his girlfriend, he's 90% of the time the asshole. Very rarely a guy complaining about his girlfriend and he's in the right. Throw away because my girlfriend has known my account. He wrote, throw away because my girlfriend knows my account. Asshole. Hey, we're done. Okay. This is currently a major fight between me and my friends, so I'm looking for some guidance. My girlfriend, who's 28, and I, 34, have been together for almost 10 years. The entire time we've been dating, I have purchased jewelry for her for every Christmas, birthday, Valentine's Day, etc. I consider myself good at picking out jewelry, and my girlfriend is always very appreciative with what I gift her and wears the pieces frequently.
Oh my God, I feel like I know where this is
going. I definitely know where this is going. I've been there. Go ahead.
We won't be together for Valentine's Day, so we exchanged gifts yesterday night. I gave her a very expensive silver bracelet, which she then wore to lunch today with me and a couple of our mutual friends.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Friends commented on the bracelet, and my girlfriend told her it was a Valentine's gift. Our friend then said that was odd because she thought my girlfriend doesn't wear silver jewelry. I said, yes, she does. I've been buying her expensive silver jewelry for 10 years. My girlfriend then sheepishly admitted that she really prefers gold jewelry and that if she's buying for herself, that's what she buys. I was pissed. I feel like she...
I was pissed.
Royally pissed.
I feel like she embarrassed me by waiting until then to say something. I asked her why she never bothered to tell me, and she said something about not wanting to upset me and that she was just happy I was thinking of her. I told her that's stupid. I'm spending a lot of money to make you happy, not so I can feel good I bought you something. I ended up leaving the restaurant and our friends took her back to work. Anyways, her attitude about the whole thing is frustrating me, so I got a hotel room for the night, and that's where I am now.
That's where I am right now.
I'm at the Holiday Inn.
Oh, man.
She's leaving for her home state tomorrow to take care of her father for a few days. So I'm going to go home in the morning and think about what to do next.
Oh. She's leaving from the state to take care of her sick father as a good person. And I'm mad she doesn't like my shitty jewelry.
And I'm busy thinking about what to do with all this jewelry. Yeah. My friends and sister found out about the fight and are blowing up my phone telling me I'm a jerk and I need to get over it. They're also saying I'm wrong for storming out at lunch. I didn't storm out. I literally just got up and left.
Okay.
But I'm hurt that my own girlfriend doesn't communicate with me, and I feel like she owes me an apology or at least an admission that she was wrong and should have said something earlier. Am I the asshole? Dude, oh my God.
It's so funny to see someone mention communication and be so bad at it, because I mean, the moment you want to enter any type of discussion with your partner where someone has to be right and someone has to be wrong, you've already failed.
I also like how it's like all my friends and my family are mad at me, so I'm gonna go to Reddit.
Yeah.
And ask them.
I'm gonna ask some idiots to tell me that I'm right.
I'm gonna ask some people on the internet who don't know me.
My favorite part of that is when she said, "I just love that you were being thoughtful." And I said, "That's stupid."
That's stupid.
Okay, this is, my heart's racing. This is like some of the most fuck shit I've ever heard. It is honestly like, first of all, let's unravel here. First of all, you don't know your girlfriend. You've been with her for 10 years and you never
straight up
thought
don't
to
know
ask
that.
Her what she
also,
wanted?
Also, it's like, okay, if she never has been wearing that jewelry, you didn't catch on that she's not wearing your jewelry in 10 years?
Yeah, and I do understand, like, girl, speak up. But also, you were an adult dating a teenager. So also, maybe she feels like she can't speak up because she didn't really develop before you started dating.
Well, that's
let her cook, literally.
Where I was, like, coming from, like, that's kind of where I'm coming at it from, where it's like, no, obviously there's something wrong with the dynamic that you have that she didn't feel she could communicate, especially when her answer was, I didn't want you to get upset, and you proceed to get upset. So it's like you've only proven her right. You've proven nothing. If anything,
it's so true.
Yeah. Like you can't be like, oh, you didn't tell me because I would get upset. Oh, that makes you so upset.
And you asked her no questions. Yeah. Like, listen, if somebody gifted, I don't really wear jewelry. I wear bolo ties, and that's it. Yeah. If somebody tried to give me like a necklace or a bracelet, I would be so appreciative, and I would say thank you. But if I were dating somebody for 10 years, you would think that maybe when you started to make this a tradition, you would ask like, oh, well, do you prefer this or this? Or do you like this or this?
Or notice that she wears gold jewelry, if that's what her preference is.
Well, here's the thing.
Right.
And I'm not, I'm trying to be too spicy. I'm not trying to be too crazy.
Do it.
Gold costs more than silver.
That part.
So her being like a good girlfriend is like, I'm not gonna be like, oh, give me the more expensive metal. I'm gonna be happy with this. But you, obviously, she must have some gold in her. Like, I would never see my partner wear gold and be like, oh, you like jewelry? I'm gonna get you that silver. It's like, no, it's obviously you like gold. And lots of people don't like mixing metals. I don't mind mixing metals, but I am wearing all gold now. But like, she was doing the nice, sweet thing of being like, I'm gonna accept, the silver stuff that you're getting me and you're very proud of, instead of being like, oh, because I can see from her position how that would feel like it sounds.
There are two ways to receive that information. She says, I just didn't want to upset you, and I'm so thankful that you've, been thoughtful to me over all these years. You either receive it by going, wow, you have sacrificed your own personal taste and style to make me happy. I'll change. Like, I'll make this small adjustment. Or you could call her a liar and storm out of lunch.
Yeah, I like how someone
you
wrote,
could do that.
I get the impression he thinks storming out means spinning around with your arms out and hands clenched into fists.
Right.
Yeah, what's storming out?
Yeah, he only watches The Real Housewives. So he's like, I didn't flip one table.
Yeah.
I'm
calm.
This is a bummer. The verdict was clearly asshole.
Clearly asshole.
As we predicted.
Also, girl. Get out of there.
Well, get out.
Yeah, here's my favorite thing about reading, like, Am I the Asshole stuff, is like they're trying to give you a nugget of a situation, but in how they tell it, in the information they say and give, it really gives you the full dynamic. The same way I was able to figure out him not being in his, like, there's context clues in way someone's, and it also comes from who's saying it. Like, it's not lost on me that for the last one, the father said it. So the father is going to, like, he's given us the best version, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And in this one, he's giving what he believes is the best version. But the problem with the asshole giving the best version is they're so convinced that they're right that they double down on the thing that's wrong.
Right. The ones that are always easy to tell, and we get them so often, is controlling boyfriends always throw out so many signs. They say things that they're like, I'm certain this is right, but it's so clearly wrong. Like, it's...
Because it's like, at this point, you're like... To me, I think the bow tie on it is like, I think she should apologize and admit she's wrong. It's like, what is this? Is she your child? Like,
well, even that's well, what it I is. Mean, listen, yeah. I don't want to be like too sad or gross here, but like when I was 18, I dated people who were like 25, 26, 27, and they liked me up until I had an opinion. They liked me up until I disagreed with them about something. And then they're like, oh, you're not just like a fun little toy. Yeah. So she's clearly been conditioned to just appease him. And now we're at this stage where she finally felt comfortable enough through the support of her community and friends to say, like, you don't like that.
Yeah.
Clearly somebody knows that about her.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I feel like we figured that one out.
I want to meet this man.
All right, Iffy, go ahead.
I don't.
Oh, no.
Am I the asshole for asking stepdaughter to move out? This is an ongoing issue going on in my home. I, 33 female, am currently pregnant with my first child. I live in a two-bedroom home with my husband and stepdaughter, 23 female.
Sorry.
Okay, I'm gonna just clock this, just right out the rip. The husband is dating someone 10 years older than his daughter.
Uh-huh.
And she ain't saying, she didn't say the husband's age, which I feel like is very important info, but let's continue. Live in a two-bedroom home with my husband and stepdaughter, 23 female. Stepdaughter and I get along fine, no big issues, but we also are not super close. Now that the baby is coming, we need more space, unfortunately. And we can't afford a new home. We need new space, and she didn't add this. I'm just adding this so that it makes sense. And unfortunately, we can't afford a new home. I brought up to my husband asking stepdaughter to move out. Okay. I don't want to make assumptions here, but this looks like this might be her second language, and I got lots of opinions about the dad. My reasoning is that we really need her room for the new baby, and she is an adult with a full-time job, so it's time for her to be on her own anyway. My husband agreed, and we brought it up to her at dinner one night. We told her we would help with her first 2 months' rent. I told her it would be fun. Her and I could go shopping, and I would help her decorate her new apartment.
Oh my God.
We tried to be as gentle as we could, but she was very quiet. Privately, she told my husband that even though she has a full-time job, she cannot afford to live on her own. My husband told her she did not need to move out, so now we're scrambling trying to find a space for the new baby. The other day, I was home alone with stepdaughter and tried to talk about it again. I offered to help her find a roommate, and she snapped on me. She snapped on me and told me to just leave her alone and locked herself in the room. When my husband got home from work, he was mad at me and told me to leave her alone and not bring it up anymore. Things have been awkward and uncomfortable since making my pregnancy very stressful. She is 23, old enough to be on her own. She has a job. We are willing to help her. We need space for our baby. I do not see how I am in the wrong here.
I don't either, honey.
So,
that's so embarrassing.
So here's some of the comments. So you and your husband can't afford to another place to live, but you expect her to? Must be written by another 23-year-old. Comment, you're the asshole. You're barely a decade older than your stepdaughter. Leave her parenting to her actual parent. Secondly, yes, she's behaving badly towards you. You're trying to kick her out of her home. Thirdly, have you had any idea of the economic fuckery going on in the world today? Completely unsurprising that a full-time, presumably entry-level for 20-something job cannot cover expenses. I'm going to disagree with because their verdict is asshole, and I'm strongly going to disagree.
Oh, my God, wow. I disagree so vehemently. Like,
girl,
you're 23.
You're 23. This was right about the time I moved out. Now, I understand, and this is the thing, the hardest thing you will ever do for the first time in your life is move out of your parents' house.
Yes.
But the reason it's hard is because you're probably not paying rent, you're probably not paying utilities, so like, for what it's worth, you are another adult living in the home of two adults for free and not doing anything to help.
Right.
Now, I know there's a lot of economic fuckery going on, but you know, that's why, yes, get a roommate. Yes, figure something out. If, like, it's one thing to say, like, they can't afford a new home and that she can't afford a place to live. I get things are wild right now, but, like...
It's never gonna get easier to leave your parents' home for the first time. And I'm not here to judge why, you know, it hasn't happened sooner or, like, the situation that is keeping her there. None of that. But you have to make that move in order to be a human adult. Like, it's not even just for... I mean, obviously, this is a 33-year-old pregnant woman. Like, she needs a space for the baby, regardless of all the, like, just humanity in that. Like, be a human, give her that space. You're never going to live a full life if you are staying inside of your parents' home. Yeah, like, it's for her.
Yeah, you can't... Like, you... Like, I... It's a hard one, but I still disagree. Because I get, like, 23 is, to me, the beginning of when you should be considering to move out. Like, I don't think it's like, oh, you should have been moved out. You should... Like, I get why she's there.
Yeah.
But I can't see how, like, knocking boots next door to your parents and your pregnant stepmom is... accessible in any way.
What I'm saying, at 23, I was like doing mushrooms in a zoo.
Yeah.
Like, go live.
But
you know?
But it's so funny because, like, it, like, that's why I said, I'm like, this is the median of like people. I could see why they're like, you're the asshole. Because also I think it would be a lot different if I personally believe if she wasn't a stepmom and if it was just the mom. I don't think people would have just been as quick to run the asshole gamut.
Totally.
But now they, you know, when you say stepmom, there's all this stuff you're unpacking. You're like, oh, you're just trying to replace her. Oh, and I when I started reading it, I did like kind of be like, okay, this seems kind of funny. You're the stepmom, you're pregnant. But like once I read the age 23, I am like, we gotta figure something out. There's like the cultural thing of like, you know, living
with your parents,
and but also no, I'm a child of immigrants,
well,
Nigerian.
Also,
no, like I know someone who is like in her 30s, who is like banking on, who is like still with her parents, and culturally it's fine. And I'm still like no, like I because to me at a certain point, and this is what I'm saying, this is where like you have to flip on the adult brain, where it's like, am I being a burden to my parents?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we don't want to think that because we're like, these are our parents. They're supposed to take care of us, this, that. It's like, there is a certain point where it's like, your dad is, and it seems like he wants to, like, let you live there. But at a certain point, you gotta find a middle ground because it seems like your option is, like, no. Where it's like, okay, if there's not enough space for you and the baby, you know, not once been like, okay, then let's put our shekels together and let's get a bigger place together.
Yeah.
But what it sounds like is you want to keep living for free with your entry-level job, saving up money. Your parents aren't able to save up the money, you know, while you're just kind of saving up. And what happens when you do have enough money to move? Are you going to do anything for them? Or are you going to move to your new house or move in with your husband with the money you saved and live the rest of your life?
Well, that's the thing. I am definitely coming from a very Western perspective.
Oh, 100%.
And that, like, it's not in my culture to stay with my family until I'm married off. But it does seem like the dad agreed that she should leave. And then as soon as the daughter was like, no. The dad was like, oh, nope.
So yeah, I was going to ask, because that happened so quickly. The daughter just said no, and the dad was like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was the daughter waited to, and this is why I just kind of don't fly with, because if she would have in that moment disagreed and did it and had a conversation like the adult she's in, then I'd be like, okay, there's some there. But what she did is like a child, waited till she got her dad alone, and then, you know, dad, I'm a dad. It's hard to say no to your daughter. And I'm sure it does not change as she gets older.
Mm-hmm.
And I just look at it as like, if times are rough, and your reaction is like, times are rough. It's like, no, when times were rough back in the day, kids were working in factories. You are 23. Like
working in a factory.
Yeah, you know, but it's like you have, like, it's not like she's in college. It's not like she has an entry-level job. They are offering to pay the 2 months rent going. Like, what is going on here?
It just makes me so, like, if it is a cultural thing, we obviously can't speak to that. But
But they never said that.
They never said that.
We're dealing with the limited amount of information.
They never said that.
And like,
but
we
when
can
I
only
was 23 years old, I lived in a basement that had zero windows, and there were literal brown rats living in my bed. So when I hear this shit, I'm like, you can make it work.
Look, like, when I first lived on my own, like, some of the first years, like, living with a bunch of roommates in, like, not a great place, you do over time, like, you don't want to go back.
No.
At least I didn't. I was like, I'd rather this. Like, you start to then develop your own, like, independence, and you're like, oh, my God. Even if you're independent in your house with your parents, there's a certain level of independence you mentally cannot get. Frankly, I think once there's a literal baby, she's going to want to move out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
All right.
Or she does, but it's on a mattress on the floor.
This hits too close to home. Okay. Am I the asshole for explaining to my daughter why her milestones seem less important than her cousin's?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Right on. In our family, there are 5 cousins ranging in age from 40 to 28. My daughter is the middle cousin, 33. My daughter waited 13 years to marry her now husband. When they got engaged, we threw them an engagement party in the backyard. I opted not to throw her a bridal shower. They had been together so long at this point that it seemed tacky. I talked her out of a rehearsal dinner and brunch the next morning. It just seemed tacky for 2 people who had been together for so long and already lived together to make such a big deal. A few weeks after her wedding, she expressed disappointment, saying she went to all her cousins' bridal shower rehearsal dinners happily, and when it was her turn, she felt like no one cared. She's now pregnant, and the topic of a baby shower came up. All her cousins had babies already, so they have tons of baby stuff to give her, and they don't need any more, so it seems silly to throw a big baby shower when she can get everything she needs from her cousins and siblings. A few nights ago, she expressed to me that she feels like everyone else's milestones are celebrated while hers are always pushed to the side or an afterthought. I explained to her that the first wedding in a family is always the most exciting, and she waited so long that by the time she got engaged, weddings were old news, and all her cousins were on to having babies, and obviously babies are more exciting than weddings.
She wrote this out.
Yeah, said it. And she was like, and I'm right. Now that she is pregnant, it feels like every other month one of the cousins is having a baby. So of course it's less exciting as the first new baby, but we are still happy for her. She said she was sick of attending everyone else's events only for hers to be pushed aside. I told her she sounded spoiled. I have not heard from her since. I was just trying to explain why things seem that way.
She wanted a birthday party, so I threw some old oatmeal at her.
And
said, here's your birthday cake.
Holy shit. Yeah,
you would think this was like maybe
so
one of the aunts we're talking about, but this is your daughter. And I don't know why you were more excited about your nieces and nephews than your own daughter. And it seems like there's a lot of pent up passive aggressiveness because she didn't get married when you wanted her to.
That's what's so triggering about this is that I am a 31-year-old woman and I have no plans of marriage anytime soon. And the fact that people feel like that there is a timeline that they have to abide to, and to have that pressure, luckily, I'm lucky in that I don't have that pressure from my family, but to have that pressure from your family and to literally tell you you are less worthy because of your age is a societal systemic issue, less of a this person issue. She is a victim and a product of society, and I feel bad for the mom because she has such a limited perspective that it actually makes her less excited about her grandchild entering the world. That's sad.
That is so true. You know,
sad.
An opinion I have on just because I've known people who've gotten married after being together for like over a decade or something. I think what's a positive note on those types of weddings is you're like, they're going to be together forever.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to worry about this. We get to all be excited. It's like, this is for real.
Yeah.
Like, that's a flip side of it.
I just don't understand all these people, all these stories that we hear, these people who are receiving positive news or receiving any news at all and then taking it in as something that is negative to them. So, like, her daughter, after 13 years, is getting married. Well, like, congratulations.
Well, here's the thing. This smells like immigrant family. This screams it. I would not be surprised if this person was Nigerian. But like, obviously, with so many cousins, this means that she has a bunch of brothers and sisters. And for some reason, it's been a competitive thing for her. Now, I'd be very curious of like the age kind of layout of this, mm-hmm. but the mom feels some type of way that she had to go to all her brothers and sisters' kids' events and her didn't get it. So she is now choosing to punish her child for taking too long. Now, she has won the grand prize of never meeting her grandkids, which
that is
I
true.
Truly, firmly hope. I am such a proponent of punishing our parents with never seeing their grandkids. I cannot emphasize enough that is your one true weapon against shitty parents. If you have a parent and they've abused you, if you have a parent and they've emotionally tormented you, do not let them meet their grandkids because they will make it seem like they don't care, but it will destroy them, and good for them. Yeah. They've earned it. They've earned it, and you don't. Oh, I like, you know, luckily, dad and mom, great, but every time I hear a story, I just always tell another parent, do not let them meet those grandkids. Because right. like that, because at the end of the day, she's not gonna wanna give you this baby shower. She wants all this hand, but I bet you damn well as soon as that baby pops out, she's gonna want her face right in that baby's face. Do not let her see those grandkids.
Or named after her.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of stories you read where it's like, well, you just want a free trip to the retirement home.
Yeah.
Right. So you're there.
Yeah, raising a child is not a relay race. Like, yeah. you do not have to.
No. Also, it's a lot of money, and take it from me. Lots of money, lots of work. If you want a quick money saver tip, keep them on the boob as long as possible. The poops are better. The poops are better when they're on the boob, and all that milk's free. And, you know, if it gets a little clogged up, guess what? Free milk for daddy.
All right. May I read this next one?
Wish you would.
This is a 29-year-old woman who wrote this. She goes, my husband, who's 31, got a paternity test on our daughter, who's 5, and it came back negative. But I never cheated. Now he thinks our relationship is a lie and wants to divorce. What do I do? This is from the relationship subreddit. So what? This is interesting. Okay. I don't know how it happened, and I haven't been able to stop crying all day. I never cheated. I love my husband. We've been together since college, and he's the love of my life. He's handsome and kind, and while I've slept with 2 other people, both were before we got together. There is no other potential father for our daughter. We were married already and actively trying for a baby. I never cheated. I would never cheat, and I don't know why he took that stupid test because I would never, ever cheat, but it came back negative, and now he thinks he's not her dad. I don't know how to convince him it was a faulty test, and I'm so scared. These past few months, it's like he's become someone completely different from the man I married. He's cold and suspicious. He kept demanding to see my phone and wouldn't tell me why. And I showed him at first, but eventually told him I wouldn't anymore unless he explained why. He's been distant with our daughter, too. He stays in his office for hours on end, and I don't know what he's doing. I did not cheat. He accused me this morning, saying he'd done the test after realizing that our daughter's eyes, brown, wouldn't naturally come from ours, both blue.
That's not how science works.
And that he wanted me to get out of the house. I didn't leave, and he locked me out of our bedroom, and now I'm in my daughter's room. This is terrifying. What should I do? Edit. The specific advice I want is how I can prove I'm innocent and how to make sure this relationship works. I want to keep my family together at all costs. Also, I just had a conversation with my husband. He's out of his room now, and we discussed some things. I told him again that I would never cheat and started talking about a list I made of tests I want done. But he told me that he didn't want to hear it right now. We're going to have a longer conversation tomorrow, and he said that he still loves our daughter, and he won't try to keep me out of the house or our room for now. I asked him to hug me, and he did. I'm scared that I won't be able to convince him. I just want our family to go back to normal. How can I be a good wife and support his needs while proving my innocence?
There's a big edit, because I have read this one.
You have read this? Okay. Yeah.
Someone here is lying.
So there's some comments here.
No, just wait.
Okay.
Some comments here. The only way to prove you're innocent is to have your daughter tested again. Also, you yourself should DNA test your daughter to make sure she's your biological daughter as well. Seems far-fetched, I know, but just rules out all possibilities. Did you actually see the results, or is this just what your husband is stating? All right, there's an update. Hi, everyone. First off, I wanted to thank everyone who reached out. My original post got so much attention, it was hard to get to everything, but I ended up making a list of plans and tests I wanted to get done. My husband was understandably distrustful of me for a while, but he apologized for the way he acted, which I didn't need, and said that he wouldn't try to kick me out of our home. He did say, though, that if every test came back and I'd cheated, then he was going to go scorched earth. We did a few tests, blood paternity tests for him and me and our daughter, and we had an appointment with a chimerism specialist coming up. But that got canceled because, well, some of you guessed it, but my daughter is not biologically mine either. I don't know how this happened, but a police officer came to our house and took our statements, and we're suing the hospital where I gave birth. I don't know what happened to my baby, and that is terrifying. I have my husband back, but my whole world was still upended, and I just wished he'd never taken that stupid test. I've been sleeping in my daughter's room, and I'm so afraid that she's going to be taken away from me. But at the same time, I want to know where my biological daughter is, and if she's okay. I pray to God she's okay. My daughter still doesn't know the details, and we've been trying to keep this quiet. The last thing we need is a big scandal. I don't want people who know us to look at her differently. She deserves better than that. She's such a good kid, and she's not some spectacle to be gawked at. If we can find her birth family, I have no idea what we'll do. I guess the best case scenario would be to get a bigger house and all live together.
I guess
the only option is to be like a Disney Channel show.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know if we can afford that, or if they'd go for that, or even
or if they go for that,
if we'll be able to locate them, or if I'm just crazy. This whole situation is crazy. I don't know anyone else who's been in a situation like this. I mean, are there support groups for parents of kids who got mixed up? I Googled and nothing came up. I mean, there is a ABC Family show.
Switched at birth. Yeah.
Literally all I'm getting are tabloid articles from trashy magazines that slap the faces of innocent kids on the same pages as celebrity sex scandals and fiction. How do we tell our daughter? I mean, we can't tell her now. She'll tell the kids at school and then it'll be everywhere. But we have to say something. I don't know what I ever did to deserve this. Some comments here. Usually in these situations, the children don't switch families, but the families come together with frequent visits. Sounds like a nightmare. All the best for you. I don't know what to say. It must be incredibly painful for both of you. I can't even imagine. I'm so sorry. A lot of confusing feelings, I'm sure. Maybe seek therapy to talk through it all. I hope you all get the outcome that is best for you. Big hugs.
Oh my God.
Update 2.
No.
I don't think I've seen the update 2. I don't think I got the update 2.
Hello, everyone. So apparently a YouTuber my husband watches called Mark Narrations decided that it would be a fun idea to read my post on his channel. Well, now there's another YouTuber reading your post. My husband recognized the story because, well, of course he recognized the story. How could he not? This doesn't happen every day. Then he went on my account page. Then he found quite a few comments about him that were not exactly nice. And now he has asked me for a chance to post his side of the story on his account so that people stop trashing him. Please be nice.
No!
So now we're going back to his side.
What?
So I don't know how many of you have been down a self-doubt rabbit hole before, but it's not the most logical place to be. It's even less logical when you have the whole damn internet telling you that your wife is cheating and that she's planning to take the house and take you for all you're worth and never really loved you, and you always sort of thought she was too good for you anyway, so you end up seeing everything as a sign of infidelity, and then you get not one, but two failed paternity tests on your daughter. When COVID happened, I got fat. I got depressed. I stopped feeling like a person. My wife stayed beautiful. She stayed by herself. I was sure that she'd made a mistake, that she'd regret being with me. I started getting into some online groups, especially on Reddit. They were full of guys who'd been cheated on, lost custody, lost everything. And when someone said that his tip-off was that he and his wife both had blue eyes and their son had brown, I felt fucking stupid. I did not want to jump to conclusions, but when I made a post about my fears, everyone said that she was cheating. People said not to say anything because she'd use it to hide her cheating and get ahead of me on the divorce. I got the test and I didn't really think it'd come back negative. Then it did. I didn't want to believe it, but yeah, I pulled back. I felt betrayed. I wanted to be a good husband, but I couldn't shake this. I tried to find evidence of an affair and failed. I got another test. When that one was also negative, I snapped. If you've ever been cheated on, you know what it feels like. When my wife denied it, I got angrier. I just wanted her to leave. I didn't want to go through what everyone seemed to think was going to happen. I didn't want to lose custody of my kid. I didn't want to lose my house. I was scared and angry and wanted the truth. I felt like if she couldn't even be honest, there was no getting past this. I took a few hours to calm down. When she came back with a list of tests to take, I tried to keep my cool. I tried to keep my cool for so long. I know I was wrong about the affair, but so was everyone else in my ear. My kid is genuinely not biologically mine. I didn't immediately consider that switched at birth was an option. I've been through a messed up time, and I don't think getting angry one time because I thought my wife cheated and was lying about it makes me a monster. Hi, it's Fully Faithful Wife here again. I just want to say that one, I agree that he's not a monster, an abuser, or anything of the sort. Two, I do not agree that he's fat. I love that this man very much, I love this man very much and have for ages. And we are not going to let this situation break our marriage. Thank you to everyone for all your help. Man, that is such a, like, unique and wild situation.
What a journey.
I would say it's, I guess it's, yeah. Is that better than her cheating? Like, well, that sucks for both those families.
Well, here's one thing I want to say before we even get into this. Let this be a lesson. Do not fight above your weight class if you're not ready to win.
Or else you're going to spend the rest of your life
being like this guy, just so unsure because you knew you got someone out of your league and just so unsure that you go on Reddit to a bunch of fucking...
To an echo chamber
of guys who's like, yeah, no, my girl was too hot for me too. And it's just like you... Like, I do feel bad for him because I could see the spiral and I see how he got there, but it all started from his own insecurity. And I guess there's the silver lining is that they found out this truth about their child, but I think I feel like this might be old boy rules where maybe you're better off not remembering this info because you had a happy family with a child you're taking care of. And like, you know, there are tons of adopted kids. There's nothing wrong with raising a child that's not your own. But now you have that baggage where like you now are taking care of this child. You know it's not your child, and you're obviously gonna feel a type of way because this didn't end with, it's all good. It ended with, how do we find the baby?
Where do we go from here? Yeah. Well, that's my question, is that they, throughout this entire post, at no point mentioned the fact that she gave birth to a child, and that child is also somewhere.
It kind of gets glossed over because it's very quick, but she does say she is very concerned about where her biological child is, and she also says they are pursuing legal action against the hospital.
Yeah.
I didn't knew Fear Unlocked.
Well, it literally was a whole show on ABC Family.
I know, but I so was like Game of Thrones.
I was on an episode of Switched at Birth.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. But so is Game of Thrones. I'm not afraid of dragons. Like, it really doesn't... when I hear this, it's like so absurd to me that
it is crazy.
A hospital could be so reckless and careless. I do want to just point out one thing. Hey, man, don't call it. It's okay if you're fat. You don't have to. You still deserve love.
Yeah.
Okay.
I honestly can relate in like, you know, when you get cheated on, you do like it feels crazy. But also, you know, when you go through a phase, and the pandemic caused it for a lot of people, of just hating yourself.
Oh yeah.
Oh dude, you can let yourself become a different person. It's so sad because she loves him so much, but
she clearly loves him, and that's why I find this to be kind of an encouraging story.
Don't go to the WebMD of relationships.
That's the
and
thing.
Ask a question.
Well, here's the thing: is like if you're gonna like you know reach out for advice on a hunch. I don't think going to the person that it's happened to is like if I'm afraid to get stabbed, I'm not gonna go to the guys who got stabbed subreddit.
Because
they're gonna be like,
it happens all the time.
Yeah, it happened to me. Yeah. It happened to him too.
And it's gonna happen to you.
Yeah, you better believe you're gonna get stabbed. Yeah.
So, I know. That's
it's very
so,
true.
Like, it's a wild thing to do, and I think that is actually very sound advice for all young men.
Yeah.
Don't go to Reddit with questions like this because you're gonna enter an echo chamber of people who I'll have even, experienced
I'll
it.
I'll make it even general. Don't go to Reddit with questions about women. They just don't have a good
I know
track
that,
record.
I know that I seem really spooky, I seem really scary, but like most women are nice. Like you can ask them, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Any questions you might have.
I don't know, I'm trying to find like a silver lining. It definitely sucks for them, but I also think it's kind of, I don't know what adjective to put to it, of like, you know, they're probably gonna find the other family. But that it's like at this stage, like that's their daughter. You can't switch that now.
Right.
And I think there's something kind of oddly like beautiful about it. Like it's so messed up. It's so tragic, but it's also like, no, like that's your daughter. And that your your biological child, it's now that's like they're part of that family now. And like there's something about, and I know, I don't know, the last thing I'll say is, like, I learned that the whole blood is thicker than water quote is actually, that's a shortened version of that quote. Basically, its original intention, although it had, like, a religious thing, was, like, your bonds that you make in life are more important than, like, family and stuff. Yeah. I'm sure it's a weird, it's from hundreds of years ago, so it's probably really weird.
And the families could look at this as an opportunity to have a large extended family.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's going to probably happen. And, like, I know the person who commented, like, oh, it's going to be messy. It also could be good.
Yeah.
It could be great. We don't know. I hope we'll get another update. If we get another update on this, we will read it on the show. Yeah. Hopefully that happens. We'll see.
Also, what an interesting kid. Like, imagine them on Two Truths, One Lie. Like, I was switched at birth. No, what?
That kid is going to be cool in high school just because, like, hey, guys, I was switched at birth. Like the show. Yeah. With Shane Topp, who was on an episode and played an asshole. Before we go, who do we think was the ultimate asshole out of all this?
Jewelry?
Yeah. Okay.
Because I think he's a succubus. I think he's a parasite.
Okay, Jewelry.
I hate that man.
Yeah, I think on technicality, I would have to say Jewelry because I want to say anemic boyfriend. But that wasn't the question asker.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's the asshole in that situation. Any character in any of these stories.
Anemic boyfriend, I think.
Anemic you
think
anemic a boyfriend?
Yeah, because I think with Jewelry boyfriend, even though he is a shithead, I think his pride is more hurt than anything. Because I think if it would have happened in private, he would have taken it better. But because it was in front of all the friends, he's like, I look so fucking dumb.
Do I look so and dumb right now?
And everyone's like, no, you don't, dude. Relax. And he's like, no, I feel dumb. So I'm going on Reddit.
I'm going with Jewelry boyfriend. I don't know. There's a lot of elements. Anyways, thank you guys for joining me today.
Of course,
reading some of these stories. This was so fun. And thank you all for watching. Let us know in the comments your opinions. A lot of these were very, you know, controversial. I'm sure you disagree with us. That's okay. Feel free to always be sending us Reddit stories on the Smosh Reddit, on Twitter, anywhere. Let us know the craziest ones you find, and we will read them here. So we'll see you next time. Bye.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.